It's 12:06 and 80 degrees in Santa Fe as At Noon continues from KSFR News on Wednesday, June 19th. Coming up this hour, does the Santa Fe School Board have a strong enough case to take to the state to court over the level of school funding? We'll listen in to the arguments they make for winning. About 100 days until the nation's new health care law takes effect, the head of a national health advocacy group joins us to talk about the milestones that must be met. UNM cancer researchers think it's entirely possible to match childhood leukemia patients with specific treatments that fit their cases. I'm Bill Dupuy. Those stories coming up after we take a check of local headlines. The biggest wildfire in New Mexico continues to burn virtually uncontrolled in the southwestern part of the state. The Silver Fire in the Gila National Forest has grown to some 30,000 acres and could grow by another 6,000. It's just 5% contained. Locally, there are concerns that drier conditions and high winds could fan the Horoso Fire. It's burning east of Espanola and has remained at about 3,500 acres for days. Crews have not been able to get to it by road because of the rugged terrain. Santa Fe School Board has voted to set aside $100,000 to file a lawsuit against the state over funding for public schools. They say the legislature has not committed enough money to satisfy the requirement that education be sufficiently funded. Linda Trujillo is board president.
The research as to what states are actually performing, where kids are performing in science, where they're performing in math, where they're reading at grade level, those states have invested high dollars into their education. And those high dollars result in, like I said, better paid teachers, quality teachers who maybe even want to move to New Mexico to teach our children, and smaller classrooms.
U.S. Senator Tom Udall is challenging Citizens United, the controversial Supreme Court decision that says money equals free speech and corporations are persons. Udall has introduced legislation calling for a constitutional amendment that would give Congress, not the courts, power over how elections are paid for.
The only way to change these Supreme Court opinions is to focus on the issue of changing the court or getting them to change their opinion, which I think is pretty unlikely right now, or with a constitutional amendment. The constitutional amendment limits campaign finance expenditures. It grants Congress and the states the express authority to regulate and limit the raising and spending of money for political campaigns, includes the authority to regulate super PACs.
Municipal water officials in Albuquerque are talking about a new way to improve water conservation. It would be a slight decrease in rates for residents who save water and a slight increase for those who don't. If they're approved, the new rates would go into effect July 1st. The water utility serves more than 170,000 homes and a population of 640,000 people. A group of Albuquerque business and civic leaders are getting set to go to Taiwan on a trade mission. It'll be the first trade trip to Taiwan for the Albuquerque-Bernalillo County Trade Alliance. More on this coming up on At Noon. A new nationwide survey gives New Mexico low marks for its manufacturing sector. The Ball State University study says manufacturing in New Mexico is not developing as much as in other states, mostly because of the state's poorly qualified workforce. The study gives New Mexico a D- for its human capital. The annual Rodeo de Santa Fe gets underway tonight at the Rodeo Grounds on Rodeo Road. It's the 64th year for the event, and it runs through Saturday. A note to drivers, don't be surprised if you're on Cerrillos Road or Rodeo Road in about an hour. You will see a lot of police cars with lights and sirens on. It's not an emergency. It's a retirement procession for a retiring officer. Lieutenant Alan Mascarenas has served with the Santa Fe Police Department since 1993. In weather for Santa Fe, 80 degrees. Hot today, near 90 for highs. Look for much the same over tomorrow and the coming days. On Wall Street, stocks are down. The Dow Jones is off 70 points at 15,247. NASDAQ and the S&P 500 both down as well. At noon from KSFR News, 12:11 now. Is it David versus Goliath? The Santa Fe School Board is preparing to go to war with state officials over the level of state funding for public schools. The school board says that level is declining, and even before the drop, it was not at the level called for by the state constitution. That document says funding must be sufficient to educate every child in the state. Now the board has allocated $100,000 for legal fees in the fight. Can they win? Tony Ortiz is a school board lawyer. Joel Boyd is school superintendent. They both gave the board their assessment of the lawsuit, with Ortiz beginning first.
I will tell you, I think that in assessing litigation, I go through as best I can. My idea of a good idea is whether or not, one, my client wants it, and two, whether I think I can win. And those are the two things that I'm assessing this for. I already know the client supports this. I think the city of Santa Fe supports it. I think ultimately we have to look at, as objectively as possible, is this a winnable case? And I think the short answer is yes. So in any event, we are blessed with some good constitutional language. I think there's also the larger issue of the community, economic, and moral imperative that is going on here, and that is mentioned in the reasons as well. It's good for a community to make sure our kids are sufficiently educated. It is good for our long-term job prospects in Santa Fe to make sure that our kids are sufficiently educated.
If I could, Mr. Ortiz, so I, as the lone representative up here that works full-time officially on behalf of the school district, obviously I receive a lot of calls, questions, suggestions, thoughts, and however you want to pose it related to this argument here. And one of those questions is, isn't the legislature already doing all that it can? More than 40% of state revenue going to education, isn't doing it, you know, no matter what the Constitution says and what this outside report suggests, isn't the state really already doing all that it can? Well, interestingly enough, not too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, that argument of the state doing all it could was posed to the federal government in defense of reductions in special education funding. And the federal government said that argument could have held a couple of years ago. As a matter of fact, 2010, they approved the waiver. They said no longer does that argument hold for New Mexico because revenue has increased, yet school funding has not risen to the level that it should be. Despite increases this year, we're still far below where we used to be. We're still below the numbers that we were in 2008, and that's not even accounting for inflation. It's not accounting for the value of an actual dollar in 2013 compared to 2008. So the federal government has denied that argument. Again, a third party saying New Mexico needs to do more. The land-grant permanent fund right now is slated to give 5.5% of interest to K-12 education. In 2016, it's slated to go down to 5% year over year, $60 million cost to education.
School Superintendent Joel Boyd at the Santa Fe School Board meeting. On at noon from KSFR News. 12:15 now. Not long to go before the new nation's new health care law takes effect. In fact, it's about 100 days away. How will it all get done? Among the experts keeping an eye on the new law is Ron Pollack, executive director of the health advocacy group Families USA. Thanks for joining us on the line. That new law takes effect on what, October 1st?
On October 1, people across the country can start enrolling under the Affordable Care Act for health coverage, and anyone who does will start getting the help of the Affordable Care Act on January 1 at the very beginning of 2014.
Now, states have to be ready to have people enroll by October 1st, but there are probably a wide variety of states with different options for enrolling. In other words, will they all be ready?
I think every state will be ready. There will be some differences, I think, in terms of how effectively they implement the Affordable Care Act, but I believe that come October 1, in every state across the country, people will have the ability to get enrolled in coverage, and they will be able to enroll in such a way that they can get very substantial help with respect to their premiums. One key aspect of the Affordable Care Act that applies to people across the country is that anyone who tries to get coverage in these new marketplaces, the so-called exchanges, who has incomes below 400% of the federal poverty level, which means for a family of four, income below $94,200 for a person living alone, $46,000, they will be able to get significant subsidies in the thousands of dollars that will reduce the cost of the premiums. And starting October 1, people can enroll for that.
There are some people who say they can't afford even that amount. They're uninsured now, but they'll be required to be insured?
Well, people who are uninsured today are going to find that there's going to be significant help that they have never been able to get before. Because right now, say you're trying to get coverage for your family. Well, the average cost of premiums for family coverage today is about $15,000, and many people simply can't afford that. However, if that $15,000 cost is significantly reduced because you're getting financial help through the Affordable Care Act, and so you're only paying a third of that or a fourth of that, it's going to be a totally new day, and people all of a sudden will find something that was unaffordable now becomes affordable.
And the reason it's affordable is that, like any insurance pool, if everyone is involved, the cost goes down for everyone. Is that true?
Well, there's several features to it. So the most important thing in terms of making it affordable will be the help that people get with these subsidies. And that's unprecedented. That has not occurred before. And mind you, the subsidies you get will enable you to select a private insurance company that you think is best suited for your family's needs. It's your choice, but once you make that choice, if you've got income below 400% of poverty, which reaches deeply into the middle class, you will get help. Now, what you were referring to is also very important, namely, under the way the insurance system has worked, almost from the beginning, is that insurers don't like to provide insurance to people who have health problems. And under the Affordable Care Act, anyone with a pre-existing condition like asthma or diabetes or high blood pressure or a history of cancer, they no longer can be denied health coverage by an insurance company, and the insurer cannot discriminate in terms of what premiums are charged. So for a lot of people who need health care the most, help is clearly along the way.
We've got the law. We've got the health exchanges, as you say, ready to go into business October 1st. People can enroll then. But how do you get the word out? How to get people enrolled?
Well, that is the big challenge. You're right to ask that question, because the vast majority of people who are uninsured today are unaware of the help that will be available to them very soon. And so there are going to be significant efforts across the country to get the word out. There will be advertising. There will be many organizations that will be spreading the word. There will be new folks who will be helping on the ground in states across the country to help people learn about this. There will be websites. There will be different online ways that people can learn about it. So as we get closer to October 1, I think people are going to see a huge amount of information, and then they can decide for themselves how it will affect their lives.
You're optimistic all of this is going to work?
I think this is going to work. I am not suggesting that there won't be any kinds of glitches or problems. This is a major change, and I don't know of any major program Even a program like this that combines real cooperation between the public and private sectors that doesn't have some glitches. But I am convinced that millions of people who really need help are going to get it. And over time, even more people will learn about that because their neighbors will be getting help, their friends and family members will be getting help. So the word will get spread, and I think that's going to start accelerating sometime this summer.
Affordable health care is a big need, particularly in states like New Mexico with a very poor, mostly rural population.
Yes, and New Mexico and Texas for many years have had the highest percentage of their population uninsured. So for a place like New Mexico, this is a big deal because they're going to be significant numbers of people who felt out in the cold in terms of health coverage are now going to get the help they need so that health coverage is affordable. And so I think New Mexico is probably one of the top states in the country that's going to feel the benefit of the Affordable Care Act.
And it's coming up October 1st. Ron Pollack, Families USA, many thanks.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks so much. Some doctors say childhood leukemia is easy to diagnose, but treatments have had varied results. Now a new study at the UNM Cancer Center hopes to match the selection of effective treatments for specific patients. KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard has that report.
Childhood leukemia has long been difficult to treat. Traditional chemotherapy is quite potent and not always effective. New research being done at the University of New Mexico Cancer Center may lead to improved outcomes. Dr. Scott Ness is with the center and has received a grant for the study.
I have a grant from the National Cancer Institute to study alternative RNA splicing in leukemias. What this refers to is the fact that human genes are actually broken in bits, and so a single gene can produce more than one type of gene product. In different situations, some genes can produce complicated sets of products, and what we're trying to understand is how that process changes and how it relates to leukemia patient outcomes. This project builds on work that was done previously at UNM, both in my laboratory and in the work of Dr. Cheryl Willman, who's the Cancer Center Director, and we both found that how highly some genes are turned on and off in leukemia patients can be used to classify them into groups. And this is especially important for pediatric leukemia patients because kids with leukemia get treated with very heavy doses of chemotherapy. And many of them are cured from that, but some of them actually are not helped by the current kinds of treatments that are used. What has come out is that these kinds of experiments can identify the kids who are not going to benefit from this really very horrendous chemotherapy regimen. And so you can spare them that process and then hopefully find an alternative and a better treatment for them. So this project is going beyond those first findings, which show that one could identify these different groups of patients. And we're trying to find out what the reason for that is. What's different about the kids who are able to respond and who aren't able to respond to chemotherapy? Usually they're diagnosed because of a blood test and because they're anemic or something, and you go to the doctor, a simple blood test can identify the kids who have leukemia, but the problem is trying to figure out what the appropriate treatment is for different kinds of leukemia and for different kids.
Dr. Ness hopes that the study will be useful with other cancers.
Leukemias are in some ways easier for us to study because we can get the leukemia cells from the patients in a relatively pure form because they're not a solid tumor. But my lab is also working on a very related project for a certain type of salivary gland tumor. And we think the same mechanism is happening in those tumors, and that we chose those tumors because of the access to the samples, but it's probably also true for some kinds of breast cancer and colon cancer and even neural tumors.
Hopefully the results of the study can become a clinical tool in the not-too-distant future.
Well, the first studies I talked about, especially the ones in Dr. Willman's lab, are already being put into clinical trials. So those were studies that went on over the past approximately 10 years, and now they're being put into nationwide clinical trials. So they will directly affect the treatment of kids almost immediately. The work that I'm doing is a bit of basic science, so we're trying to understand the mechanisms. This project is funded for total of 4 years, and we've just finished the first year, 3 more years, and we hope that by finding things out that those kinds of results could be put to use in the clinic in the next, sometime after that, maybe in another 5 years.
Dr. Scott Ness with the UNM Cancer Center.
This project is actually a very, very difficult project that we were very fortunate to get a grant from the National Cancer Institute to do this. We only were able to compete at the national level because UNM offers a very unique atmosphere where teams of investigators work together. This is a large project that will produce very large amounts of data for analysis and require not only my laboratory, but also the resources of the Cancer Center and the Supercomputing Center. And there's a large team of faculty working with me on this.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
At noon from KSFR News, a group of Albuquerque business and civic leaders are getting set to go to Taiwan on a trade mission. They're from the Albuquerque-Bernalillo County Trade Alliance. I asked their executive director, Randy Trask, why Taiwan?
Taiwan is a strategic market for us because of their focus on research and development, particularly in high-tech industries. And so there are a lot of synergies between a lot of the research and development that's happening here and the greater Albuquerque, Central Rio Grande area and what's taking place throughout different areas of Taiwan as well.
Well, what are you looking for? Are you looking to sell products to the Chinese?
Mm-hmm. Initially, the opportunities for our companies to sell their products or services to the Taiwanese. However, while we're out there, these trips are led by elected officials. We also meet with foreign companies, in this case Taiwanese companies, who might have an interest in setting up operations in New Mexico.
Ah, well, that would be interesting.
Absolutely.
Any potential? Has an inquiry ever been made?
This is the third trip that we've taken since we formed the Trade Alliance. The first was to Mexico in the fall. We have since had a follow-up visit by one of the Mexican companies that we met with down there regarding their interest in exploring those types of opportunities here locally. We just got back from Israel about a month ago. We have a solid lead we're working on from that one. And so this trip to Taiwan, it's kind of the initial steps in making those connections to start courting those relationships.
Well, now, this is a semiconductor trade show going on in Taipei. And does that tie into Intel's work at all?
It absolutely would tie into Intel's work. These trips usually are more of interest to smaller companies. And the Intel's, to a certain extent, have invented what international trade is. And so this is more of an opportunity for the smaller folks that that don't necessarily have that expertise but have something that's very marketable abroad and just need a little bit of extra help making the connections.
Albuquerque is an interesting place. So is Santa Fe, I guess. But every now and then a new name, a new company will crop up in Albuquerque doing something in technology that we didn't know existed before.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite things about being here.
It's fertile ground for extra growth, too, and probably the best source of high-paying jobs of anything.
And pure economic development. The money that's coming in is not only coming in from out of the state, it's coming in from out of the country, which is an economic boom for the entire country.
Who all is going on this trip?
The trip is going to be led by Bernalillo County Commissioner Maggie Hart-Stebbins. We're going to have representation from the city. Right now, I'm pending confirmation from the University of New Mexico, possibly Sandia Science and Technology Park, which actually has a sister science and technology park in Taiwan. And like I said, as you saw in the press release, we just opened up registration for companies. We're targeting five companies. It's much more than five, and it's not as advantageous to the companies that go because we really want to concentrate and do the best job that we can for each of the companies that goes.
When do you plan to go?
September 1st through the 9th.
Well, sounds very intriguing. Lots of luck to you, and bring back some semiconductors.
Sure, and if I could just add one important point. This trip is in partnership with the state of New Mexico's Greater China Trade Office, and therefore, because of that partnership with the state, it's not limited to just Albuquerque, Bernalillo County companies. So if there are companies there in Santa Fe that are interested in this, we're more than happy to discuss the trip with them.
I'm packing my bags.
All right, sounds great.
Randy Trask, many thanks.
Thanks so much for the call.
Speaking of bags, this man is always holding one.
It's amazing what you can learn from history. For example, for some reason, I was attracted to the show on the History Channel entitled How Sex Changed the World. Actually, I just tuned in to see if any of the urban legends about me made it into the show. They didn't. At one point during How Sex Changed the World, the subject of bras surfaced. You might know the story of Eber Rich Howard Hughes developing the underwire bra for then-girlfriend and Eber movie star Jane Russell. What's not so well known is that Jane still stuffed her bra with Kleenex. Another little factoid, some of the 1950 Cadillacs had bumperettes shaped like bullets on the front fender. They were called Dagmars, after the comedian of the same name who wore a bra that resembled the caddy bumpers. Anyway, I hope our little foray into how sex changed the world has proven to be, what else? Uplifting. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.